anniversary of October the 7th, our guests join us from two families, one Israeli, the other Palestinian. Both have trusted Radio 4 with their accounts before. The parents of Sharon Lifshitz were taken hostage and lifelong friends on her kibbutz were attacked and killed. Her mother was released, her father Oded is still being held. Mohammed Galiani is British-Palestinian and was visiting relatives when Hamas attacked Israel. Whole generations of his family have died as Israel responded. His latest message to us says, 25 of my mother's cousins were killed by Israeli bombardment on Wednesday morning. When they met in this room, they realised what they shared, including visiting a peaceful Gaza at the same time in the 1990s.
We just established that in 1999, Sharon was visiting the Gaza airport at the same time. I might have been flying out of it with my grandfather to Jordan. I think it's hard to look at, I guess, the sliding doors moments of like Palestinian and Israeli lives.
Just on this question of recently, because your parents took you into Gaza, you were living in the kibbutz on the Israeli side of the Gaza border, and you used to travel into Gaza
very regularly as children.
For holiday or?
To go to the beach to buy 7-Up, because Israel didn't have 7-Up. It's less than a mile, and at those days, you know, you could be there. It was the closest town to us. You know, we were quite far from Israeli towns.
Okay, you're basically describing perhaps the period, at least the late 80s and the early 90s would have been like when I was a child in Gaza. And yeah, again, we probably would have walked on the same beach. I think we still would have had like slightly different experiences in the sense that we did have like the presence of Israeli soldiers on the streets, the you know, settlers that took up 40% of the land and were taking up like water resources and you know, so
we didn't visit the settlement. We came with peace activists. It was very important to me to see firsthand how the settlement looked, and it looked horrendous to me. We always been against any expansion of Israel beyond the 67 borders.
Can I ask you both, as you've gathered so near the anniversary of October the 7th, is everything really explained by where you start your conversation, so that October the 7th is one date of 100 dates, including back to 1948. And I wonder how difficult it is to be on the radio trying to make sense of this conflict without wanting to present a view of history.
100%. I think it's really important to consider history in the longer form and kind of think of where history has, you know, where
Can we escape history?
I mean, I think we can, but we have to have, you know, the you know, true will of like transformational leadership. We need, I'm going to say this, but like an end to the occupation and a way towards sharing the land in a just, equitable way.
I think first of all, I'm here because my father is there. My father is 84. He was taken in his pyjama. He was shot. The children of my neighbors were there. My neighbor is still there. There's still 29 people from my community, a third of the hostages. This is why I'm here. I think that there is an urgent need to return these people. For me, each of them was taken out of his life. Women, children are still in Gaza. And I think I'd love to be beyond that, because the moment I am beyond that, then believe me, when my father on that day, he saw his whole life's work go up in fire, he saw his kibbutz go up in fire, our house was burned to the ground. From the window, the totally destroyed window, I see Gaza, and it's totally destroyed. And it, and I feel that first my contract is with my people, and then we need to do something better than this.
I can't not feel your pain and feel like empathy in the sense of, you know, what you're personally going through right now. I guess other families who have loved ones who are in Gaza. I mean, I feel like I couldn't even totally be in your shoes because, it's a unique place to be.
As is yours. I wonder if you both feel trapped by the politics.
I feel trapped by the occupation rather than the politics. I think the occupation is the core aspect of the politics. I know that, you know, we have, that there's more than the occupation at play.
I mean, my father wrote in 63 that he hoped Israel will take over the Palestinian territories and then give them to the Palestinians. Mm. I tend to share his sentiment.
I think the really big question is, how do we go from here to something that doesn't return to the status quo? I always, when it comes to describing problems, I kind of always try and take it back to what I see as origins and origins rather than symptoms. So I see, you know, October 7th as a symptom to the occupation. And that's where it's hard.
How do you feel about October 7th?
Oh, my God. I guess I could tell you how it played out for me to start with. I think that's probably the easiest way to say it. I just woke up at 6:30 and saw rockets being fired and just felt something.
From within Gaza.
From within Gaza, from within Gaza. I was meant to go harvest olives. And then the internet wasn't very, very good, so we weren't getting news. But we started hearing of, you know, a breakout through the border. It seemed initially just like a military-focused operation rather than what it was. I think the thing that I heard first was about the Nova Festival, and that really struck me really massively. I have attended multiple music festivals in the UK. It's like a community that I'm part of. Yeah, so I felt sad. And I continue to feel sad every day about it. I feel extra sad because of how I feel that what's happening right now is kind of just potentially leading to more of the status quo that led to October 7th, that will then in future lead to more of the same.
I agree that I think we have been on a slippery slope and it's been a cliff edge since the 7th of October. And I think that it's incredibly scary where we are now.
Yeah, we're not in a great place. I'd be remiss not to kind of mention, you know, the endless human suffering that's going on in Gaza right now. Nothing justifies October 7th.
Oh.
October 7th justifies everything, and that's kind of like how Israel the Israeli government is taking it.
But I don't, you know, I mean, I'm not the Israeli government. I think, you know, I come from a small community, and on the end of that day, 57 people were murdered, and they were murdered in such a violent way that I would not have imagined. And I think that it breaks, you know, nowadays I think very often about those people committing those crimes, because I feel they're still walking, and what do they think? And we speak so much about our dreams at night. What do we dream? And I, you know, this is one way I kind of think, what do they dream? What does the person who murdered my best friend's daughter and grandmother and daughter in arms, what does he dream at night? I think we are so interconnected. You know, that's what I feel above all.
Can I ask you, has it been helpful at all personally to accept this invitation? Because we are going to draw the conversation to a close. Has it been a productive use of time?
I think in ways it's been good, in ways it's been frustrating, because I think obviously I want to deal with you on a personal level, but it's hard to remove myself from the wider situation.
I would say it's always good, because in the end we have to acknowledge each other's pain. I mean, it's, you know, in the most basic way, this is how we, when we talk about how do we create a different alternative reality in that part of the world, it's from acknowledging each other's pain. And when I see you, and when I think of your family and the devastation, this is how we become human again. I think maybe we can both just say a little prayer for all the people we lost and acknowledge that they're buried very close by.
Yeah, well, I definitely share your thoughts and prayers for those who've been killed, whose lives have gone too soon. I think of your friends and your neighbours that you've mentioned. I also, kind of, my mind goes to my cousin Hammam, who was shot in his apartment in front of his wife and child. My great aunts were also shot by Israeli soldiers. They went into their home and, like, told them to leave. They said they wouldn't leave and they shot them. And just, you know, Khalid, the nurse who was volunteering at Shifa Hospital, was forced to leave and then shot on the way, on the road out of the hospital. So just like, and I just feel, yeah, I kind of felt I had to kind of mention them by name to do them some justice. And
then I would also mention my friend's daughter. She's 28. She's held hostage in Gaza for a year. We're terribly worried about her. I will mention Sasha Trupanov, who is the only son of his mom that was taken hostage with her mom, and his father was murdered that day. May that, you know, may we know no more suffering. That's what I wish for.
Yeah.
Thank you. And for you listening, Sharon and Mohammed have just embraced at the end of our recording. Again, thank you very much.